Sarah Fiedelholz, welcome.
Thank you, Julia.
So two of your longtime journalistic visions are coming to fruition. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's begin with your literal pursuit of happiness, Sarah. This is a multimedia project taking several major forms. Very briefly, what's the point and purpose of such an endeavor?
Well, I wanted to understand what was Thomas Jefferson thinking when he made the inalienable rights and the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and how that sort of structured how we all think about and believe in our entitlement to be happy.
So going way back, what were the key things that drove you to know you had to do this?
Well, I was just constantly noticing that people would say, I just want to be happy, or I'm not happy, or I just want my kids to be happy. And after September 11th, I had an opportunity to have a conversation with Elie Wiesel, a Holocaust survivor and the author of the book Night. And I said to him, after everything you've endured, everything you've seen, how can you be happy? And he told me that happiness was about moments. And that put me on a path to try to really understand why we place in the United States such an emphasis on this idea of being happy.
Noble goal. And once you were hooked, you turned to the connections that you have in your journalistic world to the Allen County Public Library, which has really provided this multifaceted set of platforms and resources for all of this. How has that maximal setup worked out for you?
I love the library, and I love all of the resources that it offers. It has the Jeffrey R. Krull Gallery, which really any artist can sign up and work with them to have a show. What I wanted to do was a different type of show, and I wanted to be able to present photo portraits that were done by Steve Vorderman and the outcomes of my interviews about how people define happiness. So this was a very different type of exhibit for the gallery, but I felt it was really important. And so I have 18 different individuals with diverse backgrounds that we interviewed. And I love that it's at the library because all different types of people come to the library. And you might stop, check it out, and then hopefully it will ignite you thinking about your own definition of what it means to be happy.
It's a really great strategy, and the Allen County Public Library is a thing of beauty for this community, certainly always has been. So finding your subjects, was it difficult?
In some cases, yes. Some people did not want to be interviewed, and I really was very mindful and intentional. I really wanted to make sure I had a diverse group based on gender, age, socioeconomic, religion, background, capabilities, disabilities, because what I really wanted to show is that everybody has their own definition of happiness.
So not only did you put together a remarkable photo exhibit, and of course, Vorderman's work speaks well to your subject, you also coordinated a series of gatherings and interactive events to complement the exhibit itself. How are these working for you? What did you come up with?
Well, as you know, Julia, because you actually are one of my subjects and were nice enough to share your definition of happiness, and you're also nice enough to create one of your folk tales. You're going to do a live one on happiness's muse. What I wanted to do was not only give people an opportunity to be able to look at these portraits and read people's definitions of happiness, but I wanted to provide you some context. So we have Dr. Jeffrey Webb, who is a Huntington University history professor, and I can assure everybody who wants a really dynamic history professor, he's the guy. He's really going to talk about what was the intent of the inclusion of the pursuit of happiness in the Declaration of Independence. And then Zach Benedict, who is a principal at MKM Architecture and Design, he is going to talk about your happy place and how where and how you live can impact your happiness. And then, of course, we have you with your live folktale on happiness's muse.
So put it all together, it is a wonderful, truly multimedia and certainly multi-textured offering that you're giving the public. The exhibit has been up since the last week in September. What kind of responses are you getting so far?
Well, it's been interesting because a lot of people who have gone to see it have told me that they find it really interesting. It sparked conversation. And actually, one of the gentlemen, Jesse Singh, he is of the Sikh faith. And he actually really promoted the idea that this was the first time that a Sikh received prominence in the library. So a lot of people really started to have conversations and talk to their spouses. And what I really also wanted to encourage is for people to really ask their children, because we all say we just want our children to be happy, but we really want them to be happy in the way that we want them to be happy, not the way that they're happy. So the whole idea of it is just to spark people to think about it and not assume and take it for granted that we have this right to be happy in the United States.
While we're on the subject and while I have you here, did your own feeling, definition, the way you thought about happiness change throughout this process?
I think that my pursuit of discovering my own definition of happiness was in part why I pursued this in the first place. Because I think some people come across just happy. You know, they just exude it. They have a mouthful of teeth. They're always smiling. And I would say that I do not come across that way. I don't think if someone had to describe me, the word happy would be a word that they would use. So I wanted to try to understand my own relationship with this idea of being a happy person, not being a happy person. And because mental health has been an issue on both sides of my family. So I think that my own wanting to understand my own relationship with the idea of happiness really is what put me on the pursuit to want to understand why we have such this focus and emphasis of happiness in our culture.
And has it made you happy?
It's made me happy to do the exhibit. Yes, absolutely. Because it got me to really realize what I wanted to do, which is really just to showcase that there are lots of different definitions of happiness. And there are lots of people who look different or believe in different things or do different things. And everybody has their own definition. And there is no right or wrong. The interesting thing is that everybody recognizes that it's not something that comes to you. It's something you have to do, which is contrary to the idea of to be happy, because to be is a very passive state. It means you don't have to do anything. You just hang there and it comes, which you can't. You can be joyful because that's an action you can take, but you can't be perpetually in a state of happiness. That's what I really found was so interesting, that most of the people I interviewed understood that. It has to come from you. You have to make it happen. And the other interesting thing to know is, so 50% of your sort of baseline happiness comes from genetics. 10% of it comes from your situation or environment. 40% of it comes from intentional action. And as you said in your own definition, Julia, that for you, a lot of it comes from your brain, through your heart, out your hand, and that for you, it is making and doing things. That's what I think is so important for people to understand. It's not just something that will just come. You have to work at it, and you have to find what ultimately will give you that sense of joy or contentment or happiness.
Noble goal. Now, back to your ability to dream big, proved by the second dream you have coming to fruition very shortly. That's a brand new weekly multimedia property you call Hub 260. Is it simply in your journalistic hardwiring to always be doing something wild and wonderful?
I think in part it's using my skills as a journalist, but I think it's using my talents of recognizing where there's a need and also my ability to look at things differently. So what I wanted to do was to create a multimedia property that is truly for the community. And it would be created so it's print, it'll have a radio component, we're using QR codes completely integrated into the editorial content so it will bridge to the digital world, because you have to be where everybody is and where they want information. But what I really wanted to do was to tell the good stories and all of the wonderful, amazing things that aren't being told. The ultimate for a journalist is when you know you have a great story and you just wish you had a place to tell it. That's what Hub 260 is. It's that place. The cover stories for the publication are called Discover Stories, because we want people to discover all that is happening within our community.
In fact, you will even be sharing your happiness exhibit and your happiness project on that first issue of Hub 260. Can we expect a lot of Sarah-isms like this to shine through that Hub 260?
I don't know if they're going to be Sarah-isms. I think they're more Fort Wayne-isms or area code 260-isms. I'm just the catalyst to be able to get these stories out to the community.
Well, we do like the way you think, and obviously you are not afraid of hard work. In fact, it seems to become you, quite seriously. How do these projects all work together to increase, of course, your output, but your drive to do more and to share more?
You know, I don't know where the drive comes from. I've always wished, like, can I just not create another project or idea? But I think that because I'm not an artist in the traditional sense, I can't paint, I can't draw, I don't do music. I think that being able to take an idea from the germ of it to executing it into a successful product that can be seen or delivered or produced, that's truly my canvas. And so when I have that combined with where I just see things, like opportunities or ideas or why aren't we telling this story or what's happening, then I think that's what fuels me. It's all based on creativity.
And what is it about the written word that will always be your germ, your core, to take you to all those other places and within all the other mediums that you embrace so well? The written word.
Well,
why?
Truthfully, I think the basis is the word, because you can do it in a written form, you can do it in a visual form, and you can do it in an audio form. The truth is, we all know that it's all about storytelling. And so I'm sort of medium agnostic. You use each medium for what it's known for and what makes that medium the best to tell a story. But you first have to recognize what's a good story to be told.
That certainly makes sense. And obviously, you know your craft and you do it very, very well. And a word on that city that you have come to call home, Fort Wayne. What is it about our community that makes you want to share its story, especially with the community builders that make it great?
Yes, so officially I have now lived in Fort Wayne for 2 years. And I think that what I have found so interesting about Fort Wayne is before I've only lived in major cities. And so when I was in New York City, I used to say that I was a guppy in an ocean. And when I lived in Chicago, I would say I was a goldfish in a lake. But what I feel like in Fort Wayne is I can be a wide mouth bass in a pond. I think the idea that you can make a difference in the community and you can have impact, at least at this point in my life, is really has tremendous meaning for me.
Congratulations on achieving it and realizing it and turning it around and giving more. That's really quite something. And okay, what can we expect in the months ahead from Sarah Fiedelholtz, conversationalist, journalist, publisher?
Well, I think most of what we're going to do is really everything's going to focus around Hub 260. You have been gracious enough to be a guest on And Good Company, which is really where I take the opportunity to have longer conversations with people. And so that will continue. But really through Hub, we're going to do some various events. We're going to have some talk series. We're definitely going to have more types of gatherings. One of the things that you'll actually be seeing is, do you remember how Lucy from Charlie Brown, she had that booth, you know, with the psychiatrist for 5 cents? So what we're going to do is we're actually going to create our own booth for Hub 260 and set it up. And then people can come and tell us what's happening in their community, their neighborhoods. What do they need help with? What's great? What's not so great? We're going to turn the table. We'll be sitting in the booth, but they'll be giving us the advice.
So looking ahead, what's the biggest thing you want the community to take away from your Hub 260?
The truth is that what I see is in my gut right now as I'm sitting here about to launch Hub 260 is I know where it will be in a year. And I know what it will give to the community in a year. I just need the community to stick with us and be supportive and be engaged and get involved. What we say about Hub 260 is it's the ultimate friend with benefit. So we want you to take advantage of our benefits.
Sarah Fiedelholtz is curator of the Happiness Exhibit, presently on display at the Allen County Public Library, and founder and publishing director of Hub 260. Sarah, your story's a grand one. Thank you so much for sharing. Good luck on that journey.
Thank you, Julia.